passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah. And we are back. It is Hour 2 of the Paul Feinbaum Show. And no, I am not Paul Feinbaum. I have considerably more hair than he does. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul here on the eve of two Final Fours happening this weekend. And of course, the women's Final Four is going to get it started. NC State and South Carolina, followed by UConn and Iowa. USA Today headline, Gamecocks unbeatable in Final Four? Nope. Heard of Caitlin Clark? Well, the reality is they got played a couple games before they get to whatever possibility that was. Let's take it on up to Cleveland right now, where I'm told by my sources that there was snowing there today. And when I say my sources, I actually mean the two people who are joining us now. I'd love to tell you I have all these sources in Cleveland. The reality is Alyssa Lang and Steffi Sorensen told me that during the break when we chatted to get ready for this. Ladies, thank you for joining us. All right, first things first, then we're going to get to hoops. Steph, I consider you a friend, though I don't know if we've ever even been in the same room at the same time. But I follow you on Instagram. My first question is everyone in your family really that good looking and cool? Because your Instagram is like, I'm like, look at these people. This is the best looking bunch of people I've seen in my life.
Lane, you want to take this one?
Yes, it's 100%. What you just said is 100% accurate. Right. I am trying to somehow get some Sorensen genes or maybe even just get adopted into the family so that I can be part of like this genetic pool or whatever skincare routine
is going on. You're in the family already.
I feel like my nieces and nephews are the most beautiful people in my family. But yes. Ryan, thank you for that. That's actually one of the, I did not expect that coming on today to talk about the game. But hey,
shout out. But it's the truth. Appreciate that. We all procure our social media timelines, right? But I'm like, I feel like they're not even trying. I feel like this is just how it is for them. So anyhow, good for the Sorensen. The McGees, we were at the work a little harder.
The Sorensen household.
It is. All right. So Steph, I will start with this. I mean, obviously, a historic year for women's college basketball. It feels like there's a wave that's been happening for years now. I said earlier this week, there's a lot of reasons I wish Pat Summitt was still here. I really wish Coach was still here to see what we've seen, you know, certainly this season. What is the vibe on the street, in the building, among those who make their living in this industry as you head into this Final Four?
Oh, I mean, the vibe here has been incredible. And, I mean, I feel like it's been kind of all season long, Lang. I mean, just the excitement. You think about South Carolina and just their dominance this year and the fact that they lost five players to the WNBA draft. They go undefeated this year, the unthinkable. They're here at the Final Four. And then, I mean, I think it was last weekend I was at the airport and I had the Iowa game on. And I had, like, six people in the airport huddled over my phone trying to figure out what the Iowa score is. These are grown men at the airport. I'm like, well, then everybody just stand here with me. We all watched the game. So you got the star power with Caitlin. And then with what Paige has done with Connecticut losing five players to injuries and still getting here. I mean, the stars, Lang, have been, you know, balling.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, I'm sure you've had this experience over the last few weeks, Ryan. I can't tell you how many people I've either been on the radio with or have texted or have tweeted about this saying, I have never watched a women's college basketball game in my life, which we're not thrilled about that, but welcome to the party, right? You are late, but we're glad you're here. But I turned on that Iowa LSU game, but I turned on that South Carolina game, but I turned on that UConn game because the storylines that we've been hyping up all season, they've delivered, and they've delivered consistently throughout the year. And now here in the postseason, we're looking at the Final Four, and there's storylines galore. Yeah. If you are a basketball fan, you're watching these games tonight, and I would say the vibes are immaculate here in Cleveland, we've seen fans already starting to fill the city out, and I'm sure this place is going to be packed here in a few hours.
Yeah, well, all right, so I was in Raleigh earlier in the week. I was working on a story about the NC State men's team because I'm old, and I remember one of my favorite team of all time was the 83 men's NC State team, the Cardiac Pack. Steph, the question in Raleigh is, all right, what do we have to do to hang with South Carolina? And what I've seen in South Carolina is a historically great team, but a team that has struggled at times with being great. I mean, the coach has said that. What do you see from South Carolina, and what does NC State have to do to stay in the ballgame?
You know, I have watched South Carolina all season long, and I think what happens And, you know, we were in Greenville when Tennessee made that push in that fourth quarter to really cut that game really close. There are like 3 or 4 minutes of a quarter where they might not necessarily play that great. And teams at this point, Ryan, you know, like the quality is getting better and better. And so I think that's where there might be some dips, right? There might be a little bit of a lull where it's really not like they play a bad game. It literally looks like 2 or 3 minutes, a team goes on a run, and then somehow I think what has been so impressive to me, and Lang, feel free to jump in here, is South Carolina has always found an answer. And I'm sure Dawn didn't have the Camilla three, right, the bank three, you know, but she did tell her to take it. She told her to take it. So I think it's whenever they get tested, they have answered every call in every game. And that's been impressive to me. So I think NC State, I called their first two games. Isaiah James, we've talked Clark, we've talked Beckers, we've talked Dawn. Isaiah James is on fire. She's hit 16 threes in this tournament so far, and she's a star. And I think that, you know, NC State is very guard heavy. How does that look going up against the bigs of South Carolina? I mean, I think that's a question that we all have.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup tonight. But to go back to what you were saying about Coach Staley and some of the adjustments we've seen her make, one of the things that the players also talk so much about is just how calm she stays in those moments, right? We're sitting there in Greenville in the Tennessee game going, South Carolina's about to lose. And Dawn Staley maybe was the only person in that arena going, no, we're good. We're going to be fine. And I think it was Raven Johnson maybe after the game who said, we looked over at Coach and Coach said, we're going to be fine. So we said, all right, if Dawn says we're going to be fine, we're going to be fine. And that's basically how it's gone, right? Even in that Oregon, was it the Oregon State game? South Carolina has a 22-point lead at one point in that game. Raven post game at the podium is like, who's going to guard us? No one can guard us. And Dawn looks over and says, you blew a 22-point lead, right? So there's a balance of keeping this team very calm and composed, but also very honest. And I think you've seen that play out, to your point, Ryan, when this team has battled some adversity in the postseason.
Absolutely. We're being joined, by the way, on the Paul Finebaum Show by Steffi Sorensen and Alyssa Lang, live from Cleveland, the Women's Final Four. All right, I'm going to ask a question. And Alyssa, I asked this question of you during the SEC tournament on Marty and McGee, and I want to ask it to Steph, and then you can answer it too. And a lot of South Carolina fans were mad at me when I asked the question, but I think it's fair, which is, what would it mean for the Dawn Staley legacy? And I'm the biggest Dawn Staley fan in the world, going back to when I saw her play at Virginia in the Final Four against Tennessee. But Steph, what does it mean for the Staley legacy if she can't win the national championship again after another undefeated season this year? And then what does it mean if she does close the deal this weekend?
I think that's a fair question. Yeah. I think her legacy right now, I mean, is, you know, she is the standard in women's college basketball. I mean, this is the second time coming to the Final Four where they're undefeated. Last year, having just watched the Iowa game yesterday, I mean, they were right there, and that team was scary good. Five WNBA players on that team, and it just wasn't their day. So to think about this team and how young they are, Ryan, you know, they weren't probably supposed to be here. And so I think they kind of have defied odds by even getting here with the fact that they have a brand new starting lineup. They go undefeated, and they're kind of shocking everybody right now. And so I don't think win or loss, it affects her legacy. I think it showcases and highlights – I can't say the D word on TV, right?
Sure.
How damn good of a coach she is.
You can.
Right? Like,
yeah,
she brought in.
I was wondering what D word you were referring to moment, but yeah. I wasn't sure.
By now.
I wasn't sure.
Okay. Anyways, just how great of a coaching year this was for her and why she won, swept a lot of the coaching of the year awards.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. I don't think it negatively affects her legacy if they don't win a title here, but I do think, Steffi, and please correct me if you disagree, if she does, or if she does make it to the national championship game, we're going to be talking about how this maybe was Dawn Staley's best coaching job this season. Yeah. We're going back to last June, and Dawn Staley's making jokes, maybe that weren't fully jokes, about how she was considering retiring with what she was dealing with, which is some of the youth on this team. She talked to us on SEC Now on Monday just about how she'd never seen a team that was so late that would arrive with mismatching shoes and sweatsuits that wouldn't respond to text messages about coming to practice. So many things that she wasn't necessarily expecting slash used to with the type of youth that she has on this roster this season. To be able to listen to the way she described that team back in June, July, August, and knowing they're sitting at the Final Four right now,
that's what
playing
I'm saying.
Some of their best basketball that we've seen in the postseason, the idea that Dawn just had her best coaching year, I think, has to be talked about. On top of that, Ryan, she just took home her third Naismith Coach of the Year award, the first coach to do that three straight times. So I think the legacy is very much intact, but I think it's obvious that a national championship would add to it.
Yeah, I think that it's national championship. That's got to be the goal for them. And it's so funny that, you know, Gino is here at this tournament, but we are talking about the legacy of Dawn Staley because it is now South Carolina's time, and I think that's what's awesome.
Well, it's championship or bust at this point. Yeah. If you're a South Carolina women's basketball fan, it is national championship or bust, and that's how you know that your legacy has arrived, right?
Yeah, well, I mentioned Coach Summit, but she said that to me one time when they went to the Final Four, didn't win it, when I was a student working in the athletic department, and she goes, yeah, everybody thinks I've forgotten how to coach now. She goes, good problem to have. You know, if the benchmark is national championship or bust, then that means you're doing something right. All right, we've talked about the half of the Final Four that has South Carolina in it. Let's talk about that other half for a second. I mean, the Caitlin Clark story is the Caitlin Clark story. I mean, it has transcended the game of women's college basketball. And meanwhile, as you mentioned, Gino Auriemma is there, oh, by the way, with UConn. I mean, you know, arguably the greatest program in the history of the sport. So, all right, what are we going to see from the other game? And hopefully, if you're a South Carolina fan, the team that you're going to face in the national championship game.
Ooh, I don't know what the hopefully team is at this. I mean, you saw UConn already if you're South Carolina,
well,
right? But
yeah,
you'd like the rematch with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I think everybody is hoping for a South Carolina-Iowa rematch. South Carolina already beat Connecticut this year without Camilla Cardoso, which is crazy and scary to think about. But, I Paige has got this team rolling right now. To think about them really only playing six players, defying those odds, getting to the Final Four, the overwhelming, obviously, experience that Gino has, having won 11 titles. It's a 50-50 game for me, Ryan. I mean, it could be Iowa. I think no matter what, Paige is going to play great and Caitlin Clark's going to play great. It's the role players for me that I'm always looking at because somebody's got to step up. I mean, that was a huge part of why LSU won last year. It wasn't the Bayou Barbie. I mean, Bayou Barbie played great, right? The stars in these moments usually show up and they play great, but it was Jasmine Carson, Kateri Poole, it was LaDeja Williams, Alexis Morris, although I would consider a star.
Yeah.
Nonetheless,
true.
It's the role players. So who else besides the stars show up in that second game, I think will ultimately win the game.
And that was something that Gino Auriemma was kind of asked about earlier in the week, right? How do you stop Caitlin Clark is the question.
Anyone?
He said, well, no one's really stopped Caitlin Clark, right? There's not a blueprint for stopping Caitlin Clark. We've seen that game after game. It's can you stop everybody else? Can you prevent some of those other role players, some of those other four around her from scoring 19, 20, 21, which is kind of the issue that LSU had a few days ago, right? Not only does Caitlin go off, but they have multiple other double-digit scorers as well. Can you lock down the non-Beckers and the non-Caitlin Clarks of this matchup? We will see, but I have a feeling that the defensive game plan for both of those players is going to be something that we're breaking down a lot over the days to come. Either way, again, going back to what we said at the beginning, if you are a basketball fan, this is a feast for you tonight. It is unbelievable the caliber that we're getting ready to see.
How much
here in
for
a few
seats?
Hours.
How much for seats?
Last I saw was that the get-in ticket for the, I don't know, it must be close to the floor, $5,000.
Nice.
What
place
I saw on my Twitter, which like can't believe everything you see on Twitter, I guess, but $5,000 actually seems, you know,
reasonable.
That's reasonable at this point for Caitlin Clark, right?
Yeah, well, might explain why Paul's not here, because he has that kind of money in his wallet. So maybe he should.
He does.
Well, and I'll let you guys get out of here on this. Alyssa Lang and Steffi Sorensen joining us live from Cleveland Women's Final Four. Steffi, is it possible to explain, quantify, button up what Caitlin Clark, what that phenomenon has been, not just this year, but the last couple of years?
Oof, that's tough.
It is.
You know, growing up, my favorite player was Diana Taurasi. And I have heard everybody chime in about the GOAT thing with Caitlin Clark. And because she hasn't won a national championship, can she be the GOAT? I'm just like living in the moment. Like I have seen Caitlin now. I'm excited too to see her play in person. I told, what have I been talking about? We got seats. Guess what?
We're so excited.
We get to see South Carolina, the dominance that they have. And then also we get to see Caitlin Clark in person, and it could be her last game. She's must-see TV, and I think that it's hard to summarize because she has there's been certain people that have come along the way that have revolutionized the game. I think about Diana Taurasi. She had that swag. Candace Parker, that 6'4 point. I mean, Ryan, you saw Candace Parker play up close. Like, she changed that position too. There's just certain players that you have to, like, give credit that have kind of paved the way for Caitlin. But what she has done, I've never seen. I've never been a part of anything like that.
Yeah.
And granted, I wasn't in media covering, you know, DT or Sue Bird or anything like that. But, like, you know, to sell out stadiums on the road as an individual player, I mean, granted, I was good. But they're there to see Caitlin.
And she's already spiked WNBA season tickets for the team that has the number one overall pick. And she hasn't even been drafted into the WNBA, right? So the Caitlin Clark effect is already reaching the pro level. I think it's just the easy way that I would explain it is just how much she has spanned sports fans, basketball fans, and brought so many new fans to the game. I was talking to some friends over the weekend, and it's like you can't look away when Caitlin Clark is on the floor.
What is she going to do?
If you are a sports fan, if you have a pulse, you can't look away. And someone said to me, I feel like I'm watching Steph Curry in the NCAA tournament again when he was at Davidson. Mm. That's how it feels watching Caitlin Clark, right? How many of us were just electrified by what we saw from Steph Curry when he burst onto the scene in that postseason, and look at what he is now, a household name.
Yeah.
That's Caitlin Clark at this point.
Yep. And there's no reason to think that these people we're talking about who, hey, welcome to the party, everybody. This is an amazing sport and has been for a really, really, really long time. Yeah. Hopefully they'll stick around, at least a lot of them, even when Caitlin Clark moves on to the pros. All right. Thank you all so much. And I'm jealous that you're there tonight. And I don't have $5,000 for a seat. So y'all just wave at me on the TV and enjoy it tonight.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, crushing it, by the way. Great stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My goal is to be half as cool as the Sorensen Instagram account. I'm telling you, it almost makes you mad, those families. Kevin Harlan is like that, the great play-by-play guy. His daughter, Olivia Decker, who worked with us at ESPN for years, the whole family. It's like they all got out of a car at this event. I was like, this isn't fair that y'all are all this good-looking. The son looked like he walked off a cover of a romance novel. I'm like, but, you know, that's all right. We McGee's are scrappy. Hey, speaking of scrappy, we're going to keep moving ahead on the Paul Feinbaum Show. You can join us. 855-242-PAUL. That's with a U, not a W. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back. It is the Paul Feinbaum Show, though I am not Paul Feinbaum. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. Who is, as they used to say in wrestling, here on WrestleMania weekend, Paul is in parts unknown. And then we used to say the Junkyard Dog was a wrestler, and they would always say, the Junkyard Dog, hometown parts unknown. His hometown actually was Wadesboro, North Carolina, just so you know. The Junkyard Dog was a great high school football player and was a pioneer, the Junkyard Dog was. Played for Wadesboro High School for the great Ed Emery, who was the head coach at East Carolina for a while. and was one of the first black athletes to play high school football in Eastern North Carolina. And KKK showed up and the whole deal. And the coach stood out front and said, get out of here. This is what we're going to do. Junkyard Dog was a hero. Bet you didn't know that. Let's go to the phone line, shall we? 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL with a U and not a W. Brian in Florida is on the line. Brian, welcome into Marty McGee. Oh, it's not
Howdy,
Marty
how's
McGee.
It going,
it's,
man?
It's Feinbaum. I just said I knew I was going to do that. Welcome into Ann McGee. It's Feinbaum. How you doing, man?
How's it going, man?
Good, bud.
Good. So I'm a lifelong Alabama fan, but I'm an Auburn alum because they only have the only public pharmacy school in Alabama. You got to go there. So. But my question today relates to the college playoff tomorrow or college sports tomorrow group that's talking about a super league. I think it was a article in The Athletic. And I want to know how you think that will affect our conferences, especially because it's a relegation model. And, you know, some of our teams, you know, the take the checks, take the losses type teams may get relegated out to the lower tier, I guess. But I wanted to see what you could comment on that and how it'll affect our conference.
I appreciate the call, Brian. Here's the thing. I did a couple radio shows this week, just as we will do, and I said the same thing then I'll say to you. I'm not surprised by this talk. The idea of a super league is something that's been around forever. I went back and found it. I wrote a story for ESPN, the magazine, back in 2012, either 2011 or 2012. It was for our college basketball preview issue. And it was about, back then, super conferences and the idea of only two conferences and at the most four conferences in the nation. And my primary source of information, wisdom on that thing was Roy Kramer, you know, former commissioner of the SEC, still lives up in East Tennessee. We did an SEC Network special with him last summer. And even way back when, he was talking about this. And this is the guy who, as we all know, invented the SEC championship game and divided the conference into divisions. And then also, by the way, invented the BCS and used to keep the original BCS score formula on a napkin in his kitchen. And so when he said to me 12 years ago that this is where it's going, that's why I'm not surprised. And I'm not saying it's going to get there soon, but it's going to get there at some point. And there is a place for conferences in that. And that place is if you watch what's happening in collegiate athletics. I mean, the map is starting to take care of itself with a couple of exceptions, which is you got a northern half and a southern half. It feels like a super league to me. Now, I'm not a soccer guy. Brams is a soccer guy. So the idea of relegation, Brams, like, you know, so if you are a team that historically flirts with having great years mixed in with some not great years, or if you are, no offense, Vanderbilt, you better get on with it, right? Okay. So that's how, for folks who don't know, that's how relegation works. Watch Ted Lasso. That's how most Americans learned about relegation, which is this idea of you're riding this line and you can either be in the big leagues or you can be in AAA baseball. And it depends. In fact, that's the example. Tonight I'm going to go to Charlotte Knights game, AAA baseball. And guys on that team, there's guys that are going to end the year in the major leagues and there's guys in the big leagues right now that are going to end the year in Charlotte, AAA. You know, we had a caller earlier from Huntsville. Could be, you know, playing for the Trash Pandas, playing for the Birmingham Barons, playing for the Montgomery Biscuits. You know, give me one. But it's that idea of moving up or down based on performance. And if you don't perform, Brams, in relegation, how long, when you move up to Premier League or whatever, how long do you stay there? You get a year. Yep. So, I don't know. What I say all the time about all of this, whether it's realignment or whether it's playoff expansion or whether it's tournament expansion for basketball, whatever, as long as the bones are the same, right? As long as once the games kick off on Saturday, it still feels like college football, then I'm okay. But when you start messing with the fabric of the games and when Saturday feels like Sunday Now I got a problem. You know, expanded playoff. I hate buys. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. Why do I hate buys? Because it's the NFL. You know, make everybody play the same number of games the way it's always been. So anything you do to homogenize it and make it start to feel like NFL point two, then I don't know. But that's where it's going. I mean, my dad served, and I'm not speaking out of school. I've said this on Marty McGee 1,000 times. My dad served on the President's Council, which is like the super friends of the NCAA for years, as a Division II representative. And we would have conversations about this years ago because the conversation from Father whomever from Notre Dame and the Chancellor of Miami and the President of Alabama in the room was, one day we're going to do our own thing, just like the NCAA broke away from the NAIA years ago. So it's I don't know. I just want it to at least feel like college football. Once it starts not feeling like college football or not feeling like March Madness, once we start messing with the fabric of that, I mean, that's – I don't want to get into NASCAR ripping itself apart. It's once you lose your identity, you can't be mad when people go, I don't recognize this person, I'm going to move on. So that's what I worry about with everything, not just a Super League idea. All right, give us a call, 855-242-PAUL with a U, not a W. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul Feinbaum. We appreciate you joining us on a very big pre-Final Four Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
And we're back. It is the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. And I almost said Marty McGee again. I did it with one caller already. It should be a drinking game. Although, is it early? It's not 5 o'clock yet. But we should turn it into a drinking game. Every time I say welcome into Marty McGee. Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's a song, right? Yeah, it is. It's going to be 5 o'clock here at 7 o'clock, just so y'all know. And then it'll be probably 5 o'clock until this time next week. It's usually 5 o'clock at about 2 a.m. when I have to host Marty McGee on Saturday morning. And Marty, it's been 5 o'clock for Marty all week. And we're going to ask, Marty's going to join us in the last hour of the show on radio. We'll ask him about that. Because when I talked to him earlier, I'm like, dude, you all right? And apparently it was something he did on Wednesday. So he went big. Speaking of Marty McGee, Brad from Macon is on the line. Brad, welcome into Marty. See, I did it again. You talk about it too much. You start doing it. Welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You know, man, habits are hard to break sometimes. But, hey, Ryan, thanks for holding it down.
Yeah, man.
For Mr. Paul today. We really appreciate you being here.
Yes, sir.
And on that, I'd like to thank the rest of the guys that are there in studio. Thanks for another wonderful week this week on the Paul Feinbaum Show. We've had a lot of good, a lot of just weird things happen this week because of the voter bracket. But thank you guys for another great week. And Ryan, I just want to tell you too, I really enjoy Marty and McGee in the fall. You guys do an excellent job.
I appreciate that. We can't believe, I say it all the time, after every show, whether it's here in the studio during the rest of the year or on the road in the fall, we walk off the set and look at each other. And Marty goes, you think we're going to get to do it again next week? I go, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you a little bit on the hot seat. And I'll make it kind of easy. Right. So give me two teams for this fall that you think will probably win the SEC. And then give me two teams that are dark horses who may come from nowhere and have a chance to get in the SEC championship game.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, with Georgia? Because, you know, they lose one game and suddenly everything's derailed and I feel like nobody's even talking about them. And so, to me, I mean, they should be the favorite to win the conference going into the year. Right? I mean, I think – but it is funny, right? One loss. So we used to do that with Alabama, too. But you look at the Georgia schedule and they start with Clemson at home, which, by the way, I'm glad to see Clemson and Georgia playing. I grew up at a time when that deal happened all the time. But you got Clemson – you got Kentucky and you got Alabama, and the rare September open date, which is wise when you're playing at Alabama, and then you got Auburn
absolutely
at home. Which, by the way, Auburn, Georgia and Auburn, October 5th, still weird to me. That's going to take me a minute to get used to that. But Texas in there, so I mean, it's a tough schedule, but I don't see any reason to think why they haven't reloaded. And
well, tell me, give me two of your dark horses that may come out of nowhere, a couple of teams, and just to put it out there, a team that sets up really, really well because of their schedule and because they are surging are the Missouri Tigers.
Yeah, yeah. You took it right out of my mouth, man. I was going to say Missouri because it's, and it's hard to say coming out of nowhere because they kind of came out of nowhere last year to a lot of people. But yeah, you look at the schedule, man, and it's Murray State, it's Buffalo, it's BC, it's Vanderbilt. You know, they've got to be undefeated going into October, you would think. You know, A&M, obviously, there's a lot going on there. UMass, which is a routine contender to win my bottom 10 on ESPN.com. And then, you know, you hit the middle of October, it's time to get on with work. But now you've had some time to get going. So now I think that I'm with you, man. I think that's a smart pick there, Brad.
Well, thanks, Ryan, for holding it down for Mr. Paul. And, hey, man, you're welcome on the Paul Feinbaum Show anytime you want to come, brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Brad. Control the room, you're listening. Bye. Brad said I'd come back whenever I want. Yeah, just so you know, Brad said that I can come back. So my plan, if y'all have it back, I'll come back. Just so y'all know, there's like I joke on the social medias about hashtag McGee curse. Like I still cover NASCAR, and inevitably, middle of the race, I'm like, hey, keep your eyes on, Alex Bowman, he's got a run going, he hits a wall. Keep your eye on Ryan Blaney, he's got it today, and, runs out of gas. And the McGee curse has extended to Feinbaum because so many times over the last, Jamari, how long have you been working on the show? Yeah. Like a couple years, right? Yeah. Ever since Jamari came on the show, hey, McGee, can you come host the show? And literally, I'll do nothing for a month. And it'll be like a Tuesday. And I've agreed to go down and see my daughter in college or whatever. And then they'll call, hey, could you do the show Tuesday? I was going to fill in for Paul for the last hour or two of the show at SEC Media Days in Nashville. And there was a literal act of God, like a tornado was coming. Like that's how much the McGee curse extends to me not ever being in this chair. But I am in the chair today, and I appreciate that. All right, let's take it down to Swamp Dog in Waycross. Swamp, how we doing?
Hello, Mr. McGee. How you doing?
I'm good, brother.
It's an honor to talk to you again.
I appreciate
not
that.
Again, on your show. You remember me being on your show?
I do. Yeah, absolutely I do. Who can forget your name? I can't.
Marty Smith, Gunsmoke, McConaughey thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all doing that. How'd y'all get a hold of that? It came off of a Paul Feinbaum call that I made.
Yeah. No, because I got spies everywhere, man. People in the building were like, hey.
Okay.
And it was an accurate statement. I've said that forever, that if you close your eyes and Marty starts talking and Matthew McConaughey starts talking.
Yeah, you can see a gunfight coming up, right?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and you were good in that, too. Both of y'all be good in Westerns, I think.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, Paul be the bartender, you know, behind the bar with the shotgun.
He's the shopkeep. Yeah, the nerd is always the shopkeep. That's where he'd be. He'd be the shopkeep.
Yeah, he'd be good at that. What I want to talk about today, though, I didn't know you were going to be on there, but you know about I-Man, you know what the disease he has called Sabinitis.
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 Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he can't get over it. He's obsessed with Nick Saban. He can't get over it. He has to criticize the man even after he's gone. But what has surprised me, and maybe you can speak about this better than Paul could, I'm surprised that the rest of Alabama Nation, Alabama fan base, don't have what I call non-Sabanitis, which is life without Saban. They seem to be handling it pretty well. I'm surprised, especially from Legend and Larry, that, you know, are on here a lot, and they seem to be handling it pretty good. And the rest of the Alabama fan base seems to be handling it pretty good. And I remember I went through this at Georgia when we lost Vince Dooley. You know, it was a devastating thing. You know, coach been there that long. It's hard to get over that. You wonder where we're going to go from here.
Yeah.
Are they just so used to winning at Alabama that not winning is not in their vocabulary? They don't care who the coach is. They just going to win, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's interesting, Swamp Dog, because it's kind of like, you know, getting divorced or, you know, your kids moving out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like at first, you think, I got this. I'm good. But then the first time you got to do Christmas, right, or the first time you got to do, you know, a holiday, or the first time you go to the restaurant y'all always went to together and they ain't there, that's when it starts getting weird. So when we get closer to the season – And there's a reset button hit on a lot of stuff. I mean, even the radio voice is going to be different. Like when the season starts and everything's a little weirder, it's going to be interesting to see how they all react to it.
Yeah. Well, I just think I made a comparison. Even Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl with Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't respect Barry Switzer as a professional football coach too much. But he won the Super Bowl because he's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying Kevin, you know, DeBoer is like Whitmer. He's a good coach. I know DeBoer's record and everything.
Yeah.
But they think they can win with anybody. And I, you know, I don't disagree with that. I'm not a Nick Saban hater like I-Man is.
Right.
I respect Nick Saban. And I think they're going to be right there. And until they play my dogs, now I think my dogs might take them down.
Yeah.
Hardly anybody else might, you know?
Yeah. No. Dude, I hear you. I appreciate the call, Swamp Dog. It is, listen, it's always, you think you got it, right? And then you have to start doing the things that you always did with them, and you got to do it without them. And that part's going to be weird. And it's also a different world now. Whereas when you came in as a coach before, it was really hard for those guys to leave. Now it's not, and it's going to be really, really interesting. But Kalen DeBoer coached football, and when people really get to know his story, and really the entire coaching staff, I had the greatest time at media days for the national championship game of walking around talking to these coaches, because all these guys, I'm a small college football lover, and all these guys were coaching small college football not 20 years ago, in some cases like 3 years ago. Like the AD coach slash guy that cuts the grass slash guy that does the laundry slash guy that paints the lines on the field. You know, now you're the defensive coordinator for a team that's playing for a national championship. Now you're defensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So if you know their story, you're going to love those guys. But if they lose games, you ain't going to love anything about them. It's the Paul Finebaum Show. You can join us. Please do. I'm here all afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. And I know that. You know why? The control room knows how much I love them. At least I hope they know how much I love them, because I do. But they made me a sign. Here's your sign. Because I think it's a count up to three times now. I think three times now I've said Marty McGee. I've certainly done it with two callers. So they made me this show. Welcome to the sign. Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. And so in my defense, I was saying this earlier. In my defense, I mentioned earlier, I used to sub for Paul a lot back in the day. There was no Marty McGee then. There was a Marty McGee, but it was a podcast that literally like four people listened to. And we weren't taking callers. So yes, they made me a sign. And I appreciate that, because as we know now, I need all the help I can get. Which, by the way, we're talking about the Final Four. We just saw a promo, if you're watching on television, that last commercial break. Vandy and LSU playing baseball this weekend. That's kind of big. So I just want to throw that out there, because that's the kind of information we love to give you here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. They even underlined it. So I have to yell it now. Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show, because it's underlined. We'll be back. Please join us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.